Oh shit, did it mute you? Can you still hear me? Look at him, he's so funny. It's like he's in a fish tank.
Am I what? On mute?
Yes, you're on mute. Go away.
Damn it.
No one likes you.
Hey, Jeff.
Welcome to We Are Libertarians.
God, you fucked it up.
Wow. I wish we could take Vibbert off of Fate. Like, our audience doesn't even know who Vibbert is. I'm just waiting on this.
What do I do?
Well, they kind of know him from Morty's.
I guess,
everybody
yeah.
Everybody knows Vibbert. That's pretty bad when your audience doesn't know Vibbert. I guess we are a worldwide little global transmission.
Adding 1,000 a month, yeah.
I know. It's crazy.
All right, here we go. We're starting. Welcome to the Boss Hog of Liberty. My name is Jeremiah Morrill.
And I'm the Kurt Davis.
And man, over there is Audrey Joe Peavy.
Hey, you ain't been down to Henry Cassier Hotel with Big Giant Shoe. You need to come down here. We got basketball and stuff.
Hey, guess what? You could buy yourself a nice house for only, it's 17,000 square feet for only $8.
With 18,000 miles behind it, too.
Wow. All right, you guys ready?
Yeah. Did you record that?
Yes. It's at the beginning of the live video. All right, here we go. Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I'm your host, Chris Spangle. We bring you all of the irreverence modern politics deserves while putting people before political parties. We examine current events from a libertarian perspective with the goal of leaving you better informed. Please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, and become a subscriber on Patreon at WeAreLibertarians.com. Without your financial support, independent media like this cannot exist. In exchange for supporting our program, we give you great bonus content. I like having the music. This show is crowdsourced, so you can send us the news with the hashtag WALNews or in our Facebook group or Discord channel. We're always taking your questions and comments via email at editor@WeLibertarians.com. Please be sure, please be warned that this show is raw, unedited, and authentic. So the language is sometimes strong and offensive. In this show, we're going to cover just a bunch of Trump stuff. We're going to have a little fun. I've got two returning co-hosts. Chris Galt, how are you?
I'm great.
I don't. Your mic's not on.
Oh, so
yeah. Yeah, we're going to have to fix that. And then Tad Western. Tad, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I've been gunslinging for a while. And,
try now.
Free-range gunslinging. You can't hear it. What?
I know what's wrong.
You can't introduce me before.
Hello. Hello. Yeah. I'm here.
There he is.
I'm
he's
in.
He's hot.
Woo! So, well, I'm thrown off because here's the little secret about broadcasting. Not everything you hear in a show is live. Sometimes it's mixed in later. And we never had the actual music. And I got a second iPad so I could play live clips and everything right on the iPad while we stream on the other iPad, and then I have the news on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the second show where we have the music going. The first week, I'm completely thrown off by it.
Different rhythm.
I'm so you. Lost. Yeah, exactly. So I apologize. And then Galt's mic wasn't on because we normally don't have anybody in that
rookies.
Chair. Yeah. Whew. So Chris Galt's here. How are you, Chris?
Oh, I'm great.
And then we've got Tad Western. Tad, how are you?
I've been better.
What's wrong?
Been a little sick, and then I don't like when I go to restaurants and then they try to slip one over on me.
I know. We were just at the Stack Pickle, and the Stack Pickle is...
They tried serving me raw fried pickles. Can you believe that?
I've never laughed harder in a restaurant. We're sitting there, and we've got these two cute bartenders, and the Stack Pickle here in Indianapolis is a local chain, the official green room of We Are Libertarians.
Absolutely.
And we're sitting there, and I'm done eating.
They were until this podcast.
And so I'm playing on my phone trying to win an election, and Tad Western just goes, "Can I speak to your manager? I got a raw fried pickle. This is unacceptable." And I like look over to see what was wrong because I'm thinking like, this is serious. Tad never asked for the manager. And then the two girls just, you know, they're like looking at him going, trying to figure out the situation. And then he goes,
I don't laugh like that.
And then we realized what he was doing. It was a pickle spear. And it wasn't fried, so I just thought it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. I laughed so hard.
Well, even before that, I can't remember what I was going to say, but yeah, it was a raw pickle, and I actually complained that they had cut the pickles up before.
Yeah,
I said, "What is this?" when they hand me the plate with the fried sliced pickles. Because she said fried pickle for a side, so I assumed it was a full pickle, and I was like, well, I have a knife, I can cut it up, I didn't need you to cut them for me, I'm an adult, you know, I can use a knife.
Yeah, nary a stacking of those pickles either.
Yeah, and
when they get fried pickles, normally they're a long spear or a full pickle that's fried.
Well,
they're not usually sliced up and chipped.
I don't listen if I read on a menu that you have fried pickle, not plural, I assume that it's just a pickle fried,
right?
Deep fried,
okay.
So it's portable fried pickle. You know,
yeah.
All right. Well,
it's not that big of a deal. Everything was wonderful.
From a place called the Stacked Pickle.
People are losing their minds over how entertaining this is.
I tell you what.
Yeah, I got jury summons this week.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you go?
Oh, I just called in, so I got summoned.
Oh, you got to go.
It starts on the day of my birthday.
Oh. Yeah. Only you would get summoned on your
birthday.
On
my birthday.
Right.
That's my first day.
You
want to
go?
Oh, I'm going to go.
Oh, yeah. But
have you guys ever done it before?
I've been summoned, but I never actually had to go.
Oh, I changed my name.
I hope I have to go, but I'm not sure yet.
He literally did. Your name's actually Tyler Weiss.
Chad Eastern.
and he got drunk one night on Facebook.
No,
and you got blackout drunk in Broad Ripple and changed your name to Tad Western on Facebook. Woke up the next day and had a different name, and then you couldn't change it for 3 months, so you rolled with it.
These are all lies. I don't know where from the pit of hell.
it sounds
like a good story.
Yeah.
What else was there?
Yeah, make me a backstory too.
Are we out of gas already? It's only been 5 minutes. So
it's been good.
We've been going pretty hard. The statistics today was actually I looked today, and in 24 hours, we had an episode at 3,500 downloads, which is the fastest that we've ever had an episode downloaded. Our average in August. See, when we went to 2 episodes a week. You know, we were around 9,000 a download per episode, and I was worried about losing that average because that's really good. That puts us in like the top 5% of all podcasts. And when you add a second show, some people jump ship because it's too much content. And fortunately, people seem like they stuck with us. We dropped down to about 4,500 to 5,000 per show. We're up to about 6,500 to 7,000 per episode in downloads. So that means we're still adding a lot of new people, and the less fluff, more
balls,
nerd content people seem to really be enjoying it, and I thank you guys.
Yeah, more glasses.
More glasses, yes. Because I was worried, you know, when you go, everybody's like, well, it's super relatable, and I'm like, well, it's going to be more.
I got bad news for you if you're looking for more, because you brought me on. I don't know why you decided to do that.
Well,
everybody hates Tad Western.
That's sort of what I'm saying is, just be advised, we're going to talk issues here very, very shortly.
Multiple issues.
But we're going to be a little more relaxed.
Tad's
because
issues.
Tad has a lot of issues. Now, listen, boys.
I've got plenty. I'm not, listen.
Now, first and foremost, Tad.
I'm not going to break any of the rules.
No. One at a time. You cannot have a, you're as bad as your cousin. Because the last time, every time Aaron, see that tape up there, that duct tape that says shut up? I got it a year ago, and that's the last time Aaron was on. But it's for him, because every time Aaron's on, there's kind of like this lulling extra dialogue going on the whole time. He's talking to himself.
Well, but it's not even him. He's talking on his phone.
I know. Yeah. It's to Hannah. But
At least you're talking to yourself, right?
Yes.
You know Hannah spelled backwards is still Hannah?
So everybody
sometimes
talk one at a time. Mm-hmm. I want to. So yes, we're going to have a show. It's going to be a little more relaxed than we normally do because Tad's here, and
hey.
I'm hoping that next month, actually, Galt, Creighton, and I will have a reunion month.
That'd be great
because our friend Creighton got a job in New York City working for a major business news outlet, and so he's moving to New York City in February. So I think in the month of January on Thursdays, we're going to reunite the original crew of Galt, Creighton, and myself, and do Thursday shows like we used to. So, but I want to jump in, starting with talking about Patreon. Patreon made a switch today. Patreon is how we fund this show. This is how we fund the news. It costs anywhere from $400 to $600 per month to run this thing. And just at the base cost between all the different services we use and the news sources that I, you know, like I have to have a subscription to the New York Times, for instance. So things like that. So all of that costs somewhere between $400 and $600 a month. And I'm very candid and open about our numbers. A lot of podcasts don't want to tell you their numbers outright just because they're embarrassing. But ours are not embarrassing. We have very good numbers. Some people, Chris Galt, say the best numbers.
The best.
I would say that.
Yeah.
And we have huge hands.
Yeah. And so I always try to, because I really feel like We Are Libertarians is a community. Yes, I am at the head of it. Yes, I am Dear Leader, the president of all libertarians, the unchallenged master of the libertarian realm. I am Dear Leader, but I really feel like we're building an awesome community here for a group of people who don't have a political home. We are libertarians. We believe in all the libertarian principles, or we're new to libertarian principles, and we're trying to learn about those, and we're trying to take those libertarian principles and apply them to the news and current events in society. There's no other libertarian show out there that does what we do, where we are regular folks. I have 15 years of political and media experience, but all the rest of our contributors are just regular guys out there who love politics or involved in politics and come on, and I try to interview interesting people, and we have a roundtable discussion as opposed to me interviewing experts. So we do something totally different here at We Are Libertarians than what you'll hear in any other political talk show. And to fund that, we use Patreon. And Patreon made a change today. And it's cost me a couple subscribers. So I love Patreon. So I want to talk about first, I don't exactly know what the changes are, but I think starting next month, Patreon subscribers are going to share a part of the cost of the monthly fees. So we bring in over $1,000 a month on Patreon, and it costs me around a little over $100 between processing fees and Patreon fees. Credit card processing, 2-3% of every... It's like a 2-3% tax on the world, because that's just everybody pays those processing fees. And then we pay Patreon, we as a community for We Are Libertarians, as they help do hosting, they help do the credit card processing, they help get me in touch with the people that subscribe for $5, $1, $5, $10, $25, and $100 a month, and help basically run the back end of our subscription program. You donate, you basically subscribe, not donate, and then we give you bonus content. And you can go in and manage your account, and it's secure, and it's safe, and it's a really cool platform. And we pay, as a community, for that service. And so what Patreon is doing is they're taking the percentage that is paid to Patreon of every transaction and splitting it between the patron and the creator. Now, I'm not crazy about that, because I would rather you just say, I'm giving you $10 a month, and then it's always $10 a month for you, instead of $12 a month, and then I see 10 or whatever.
So they're taking it on the front end. And
exactly right. Yeah. But it's what we always say as libertarians, if it took you right out of your paycheck, you'd never notice, and if you had to write a check, and that's kind of what's happening here. So you're seeing the cost of Patreon in your monthly donations, as opposed to me just eating that cost, which I'm fine either way. If somebody really has a problem with that, then on an individual level, I'll be happy to work out another, you know, system with you. I'm looking into Bitcoin because I hear this Bitcoin thing starting to take off, so I might get interested in that a little bit.
You want to know why, right?
Why?
Because Trump,
the globalist.
Trump.
You waited Trump's way got the too long to get interested in Bitcoin.
Well, yeah, which we'll talk about. But yeah, just so you know, just a heads up to all of our Patreon subscribers. If you aren't a Patreon subscriber, go to wearelibertarians.com, see what we offer you in the different tiers. Right now, we're live streaming to a private Facebook group that has become a really fun community of listeners that get to watch the show live as it's happening. I can see the comments, for the most part, popping up. You get the show commercial-free, CD quality, unedited, the night before. You get bonus content. We give you all kinds of cool stuff when you become a Patreon subscriber. And it helps fund this. And if you look at our YouTube, you see the beautiful studio that we've built.
It's gorgeous.
And it helps fund the community that we are building. So I hope you all, if you're a Patreon subscriber, feel that it's worth it. I wanted to give you an insight into what Patreon is and what you're paying for, what I'm paying for, and just let you know that it's worth it. I've looked into a lot of different options, and Patreon by far really helps. I just don't have time to go build a private system of membership. Like, and I don't have the skill, so Patreon's doing that for us, and they should be paid for it. That's capitalism. So if you become a Patreon subscriber at the $10 level, that's kind of what that is. So just a heads up, and I want to thank all the people that subscribe on Patreon, especially, and I want to make sure that I get his name right, but especially we have now four people who donate.
Friends?
Who now subscribe at the $100 level. They are Christy Avery, Craig DaCosta, Jason Doolittle, and now Brandon Luke. So, Brandon, thank you so much for becoming a $100 subscriber today.
Thank you, Brandon.
Yes. So, he gets access to a private chat with myself called Dear Leaders Chambers.
There's a lot of guy-on-cat stuff going on.
A lot of cat material,
yeah,
in
so
there.
So, if you guys are into that.
So, thank you so much to everybody that makes this, that not just this podcast, but the entire operation that we're trying to build, and the community that we're building and the tools that we all use, and you know, everything from Discord. If you love Discord chat, please join. It's very, very fun. I have to give a shout out because Harry's watching,
shout
patrolling.
Out to Harry. Harry's a good man.
Yeah. One more non-political thing. I want to give a shout out to everybody who voted in the Lions of Liberty Forum, which is a Facebook group. We are libertarians. Our friends over at Lions of Liberty do this Liberty Draft every year where they draft like the top libertarians for something. And, you know, we have the League of Liberty group, and it's me, Mark from Lions of Liberty, Roger Paxton of Lava Flow, and Johnny Adams from Johnny Rocket Launchpad. And, you know, we just kind of help each other grow and do some knowledge sharing and say, hey, what are you hearing with this? And just and kind of intermingle our audiences and communities so we can help each other grow as independent libertarian podcasters. And I was the only one left off of the Liberty Draft. And you know how I am, Chris Galt.
Oh, it's personal.
Petty.
Everything's personal.
Petty. And so I had to teach Mark a lesson. And so I went in and I found TBD, the last place team. And I started pushing people towards this poll. And TBD eventually became first place.
Yeah, I mean, they're a common name in libertarian household right now.
Yep. And then I talked to Mark, and I was like, you know what? Heel. I'm going to turn heel and about face. And then we joined forces with Mark. And it was tough. There's a lot of backroom deal making.
Oh, yeah.
But
you can't just jump ship after you...
Well, yes, I can.
After you fluff TBD up.
TBD was out of luck. And
they didn't have anything to offer.
And Liberty S. Pumpkins won because of the We Are Libertarians community. And I thank you so much.
Is that why you wanted my phone?
Yes.
My vote.
I want to thank everybody who accepted my deals, who used their sock accounts to vote. I want to thank everyone who helped me fix this vote. And so we won. And then that's all that matters, Chris.
There's one King Lion.
There's one King Lion in the land of liberty.
You don't leave him out.
Yes.
James Neese.
They'll never do it again.
But it was an instructive lesson and something that, I had to bargain with Mark. I said, listen, you free James Neese, you unblock him from your group, and I will support you. And he did. He's yet to deliver on that promise.
Oh.
But it's not his fault because he can't unban him because one of the other admins permanently banned James from Lions of Liberty Forum.
Oh, so, wow.
James went in and just scorched earth, but...
He's
as he
do
does.
The same thing again.
So, and Roger Paxton is being a sore loser and saying that his team won, and he didn't. He didn't win. And Roger, here's the problem with...
Don't be like Hillary. You didn't win.
Here's the problem with anarcho-capitalists. Galt, you've been around a long time, and you know what anarchists are like. The anarcho-capitalists, he went in his group and was like, Chris Spangle's not an actual libertarian.
Oh.
He's a phony libertarian. We need to defeat him because he's not pure like us. Can you believe that?
Wow.
It's just typical. Like, that's... And what that does is that if you have that attitude of that person's not a real libertarian, it just, it backfires on you.
That's a divide and conquer.
Yeah. Because what happens is the person who isn't pure yet, who just joined the libertarian movement in the last year, goes, well, I don't agree with you. I agree more with the guy you're saying isn't a libertarian.
So I guess I'm not a libertarian.
Right. Like, that Bill Weld makes sense to me. Am I not a libertarian? I guess I'll go back to the GOP.
You know how many people told me if Bill Weld was on the front of that ticket?
Right.
They might have had his vote.
Right.
And now you're everybody's saying that he's not a libertarian?
Right. And so
that doesn't help us grow.
So in this,
that's the opposite.
In this fake election, there's two lessons. First, you have to make a choice in elections.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to win or do you want to be pure? Well, I had to cut a deal with Bittner.
He did.
I was in the room. Wow.
I horse traded a little
bit. I was Greg Papanopoulopoulos.
I had to horse trade for Bittner's vote, but I got his vote.
He did.
And with his vote, we won the election.
You even had to play with me, too.
Yep.
But we got it.
I had to ban you again. It was like, how many times do I have to fire you, Chris Galt, before you get it that I'm the boss?
Yep, you are.
So that's that. If you're going to run in elections and you're going to be a candidate, you may have to sometimes make deals and compromise with people that you don't like Brett Bittner. So if you want to be involved in the game of politics, are you willing to make that sacrifice?
No.
You can sit at home and you can read Ayn Rand and Murray Rothbard and be pure, but if you go out and start playing in politics, you're going to get a little dirty.
Yeah, once you walk out that door, you got to realize that's all fiction.
Yeah.
You got to come into the real world.
You don't know. You may have to cut a deal with Bittner.
It's all theories till you get hit in the face.
You're just kind of leaning back.
I know. Time. I want to stay back. I want to be kind of like ambiance.
So
are
yeah.
Are you trying to get me to go wild?
Second is that you if you're a libertarian, you have to accept that libertarians of every stripe exist.
It's true. It's like the zebra gum.
Right. And so one of the things about We Are Libertarians is that I believe in the efforts of every libertarian. Okay? So if we're talking about pure political philosophy, politics doesn't exist. There's seven principles that David Bowes came up with in a book called The Libertarian Mind that outline exactly what libertarianism is about. And I will look those up right now. And they're not found in the United States government. They're not popular in modern politics. So you have to accept that if you're going to be in politics, you're going to...
Yeah, there's some sort of government you're already accepting if you're running as a libertarian candidate under this system.
Exactly. I mean, right.
Come on, you gotta live in reality. There's a I was thinking about this today, actually, when I was in the shower, where I do all my deep thinking. There's a philosophical point where libertarianism is at its purest, which I would argue is pretty much Ancapistan, you know, no mm-hmm. government, nothing, just free trade, do what you want, which is probably morally the if you're going to go on the moral scale, that's probably the peak.
Ancapistan is peak morality.
Peak morality, yeah.
I'm going to put that one in a meme.
Yeah.
Peak morality right here.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with tactical McNukes.
Right.
But you have to apply that to the system you're living in. It's one thing if you want to run and then change the system, which I'm completely for, but you can't just sit here and say, oh, so-and-so is not libertarian because they actually believe in borders. Okay. I mean, yeah, in theory, you wouldn't want any borders, but
right.
You're not dealing with a one-state solution. Even if you were the president or whatever, if you somehow got rid of borders, you'd still have other countries who would bar entry from your Ancapistan.
Right.
I mean, it's not, there's kind of some, there's rules to life. I mean, we've got a highway. I mean, there might be some lines painted on that highway that you can, you know, kind of not pay attention to. Doesn't mean you're a bad person, but Once you get off the road, you're fucked, you know.
Right. So here, this is from David.
That makes any sense.
David Bowes, Jan 1, 1999.
But all in caps, they drive Jeeps, so they can just go off.
It's called Key Concepts of Libertarianism. And the principles are as follows. Individualism, individual rights, spontaneous order, the rule of law, limited government, free markets, the virtue of production, natural harmony of interests, and peace. And like those, and I will post this in the show notes so you can see these and read more closely in them, but like these are the principles of what libertarians believe, right? And peace, not much peace in the United States government. Natural harmony of interest, well, the government is always interfering in the relationship between two people and the virtue of production. The government is always making new regulations, free markets, NAFTA, the National Free Trade Agreement. Like, there's nothing free trade about NAFTA, for instance. Limited government. Ha! The rule of law. No, not currently here. Spontaneous order. Individual rights. Individualism. I would argue we, even in the libertarian movement, have lost sight of individualism. And that's kind of Absolutely. What we'll talk about tonight. But So these are the principles that I hold, and if I want to do political analysis and talk about modern politics, what I talk about is not necessarily going to be quote-unquote libertarian, because libertarians, with the exception of, you know, Rand Paul, who is called by the
he's a statist.
Right, the capitalist, anarcho-capitalist community, he's not a real libertarian.
And by CNN, he's not a Republican.
Right, you know, and so he's leftist scum. But what we try to do is apply these principles that we believe in to modern politics and current events in an effort to get people to see the problems that exist with the way that we currently think. And in that way, in an effort to get people to move towards libertarianism by challenging their core beliefs. Because here's the thing, I could just go out and do a podcast that only talks about these seven concepts, and I would be in liberty drafts and beloved by the libertarian community. But it's when you take these principles and apply them to issues that people's old dogma start to get triggered. People start, you go look at our Facebook page, the 87,000 Facebook fans that we have are consistently triggered by what I post and what I say. Because
great.
As a libertarian of 10 years, I'm so much further away from the way that they think in that left-right paradigm. And when you apply issues, like Israel, for instance, is a great litmus test for people.
It is. It's the ultimate,
yeah,
actually, if
exactly.
you want to think about it.
Especially, abortion,
I mean, it is.
And that's what we're going to start with tonight, where when you start talking about modern day issues, if I were to go out and say what the president did yesterday was a good idea. Well, to a certain segment of those 87,000 libertarian curious people on our Facebook page, I'm a right libertarian. I'm alt-right. I'm conservative, or I'm a Republican. I'm a phony libertarian who's a lino. You know, and if I come out and said what Israel does in terms of the settlements is wrong and it violates the concept of peace. And then I would be tagged with, you're just a leftist, left libertarian, throw you out of a helicopter, Bernie Sanders libertarian. And so
those exist?
Yeah, exactly. So what we have an issue when it's everybody loves the idea of the Libertarian Party and a third party. They love the idea of a Libertarian Republican caucus.
Until it's time to vote.
Until the tires have to touch the road. And once you spend all this time learning about the libertarian philosophy and you have to start applying it to people's lives and the politics of today, that's when you start losing people.
They all disappear.
And that's when people get uncomfortable. And We Are Libertarians is about making people uncomfortable.
I was
sent to this earth to afflict the comfortable, to annoy the regular person. Like, and like, it's just hard being different, Galt. You know.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. So, and so that's why I love the community that We Are Libertarians has built, because we are people who are engaged in politics, engaged in our community, and we're not liberty LARPing. turtling ourselves in our little shells, going, I'm just going to live in a world where Bitcoin is the currency and the rest of the world doesn't exist. Well, guess what? I got news for you. Bitcoin is a great advancement in the cause of human freedom. But
until we can get back to trading flesh,
hedge funds are now getting involved in your precious Bitcoin and have made it a bubble. And it's now not a currency. It's now a commodity that people are trading. So your idea of Bitcoin being a currency has been corrupted by the regular world. And Christians fall into this all the time. I was a Christian convert at 18. And I can tell you, as somebody who went from an atheist background to a Christian at 18, I was a zealot. I was such a zealot. The converts are always the most zealot, zealotous. And, you know, after 15 years of living as a Christian, I've moderated a lot because I've learned to understand. It's not even that I've moderated. I've actually become much more solid in my beliefs, more ingrained in my beliefs, accepting of the offensive beliefs that, for instance, Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's something that I believe. Now, that's probably going to turn a lot of you off, but
it's just life.
I don't care. That's my belief. You can now reconcile what I believe with what you believe, and we can have a conversation about what I believe and what you believe, and then that's called knowledge. That's called growth.
No, bro, I'm calling for your job.
Right. I'm calling because I'm offensive.
I don't like your shit.
Right.
I'm calling for your job.
So I want to start by reading, and then we'll get on with the discussion.
Newsroom leader.
Yep. This was in the American Conservative today. All right, I'm gonna just let me get through this.
I'm not saying shit.
And then we're gonna get to full ranting. I know I've been talking a lot, but I'm trying to set this up.
You're good. It's better than me. They don't want to hear me.
And then we're gonna give you full tad, full galt.
You don't want that
because I think this
last time we said Hitler was still alive. I'm not.
This is called Phony Virtue is Ruining Western Society by William S. Smith in the American Conservative. Again, I will post this link in the show notes. What counts as virtue among Western elites? As Aristotle teaches, if you can identify what a society considers to be virtuous or good, you can understand the moral outlook of that society's institutions, from its schools to its foreign policy. One need only to study any gathering of American elite culture to see that virtue, traditionally centered in personal character, has become redefined as public sympathy for humanitarian causes. When watching any cultural awards programs, for example, one is treated to a parade of beautiful souls voicing support for a myriad of progressive causes. This moral preening has become so commonplace that a term has developed to characterize it, virtue signaling. The West's moral outlook is now animated by the widespread belief that virtue is measured by one's professed sympathy for causes such as combating homelessness, extending civil rights for various protected groups, and decrying poverty in far-off places. And the more publicly ostentatious one is in attaching oneself to these causes, the more virtue one is assigned by our elite culture. So, and I'm not going to read all of this through, you know, the tradition, this traditional moral philosophy once recognized that within each individual there are two selves. The human soul is made up of a range of impulses, desires, passions, but there is also a voice in the soul that works to control these impulses and desires. St. Paul described this duality as the law of the flesh and the law of the spirit. Virtue, traditionally understood, belonged to those individuals who perform the inner work required to overcome unjust desires and shape his temperament according to something higher in his own nature. A person of character that must subject impulse to self-control. Confucius put it this way, that wherein the superior man cannot be equaled is simply this, his work which other men cannot see. So this is, I think, a great article and that you all should read through, but it introduces a great idea that, you know, we in the past and to a certain segment of our society, virtue is about the wrestling of one in yourself, the concept of smaller and greater jihad. And this was introduced to me by two of my Muslim friends in high school. After 9/11 happened, I had conversations all the time with my friends Musa and Isa Saeed. Musa is a great documentarian about the modern Muslim experience. and was, I think, greatly shaped by 9/11 when we were seniors in high school. And I saw people turn on him, and he said, you know what, jihad isn't about, like, bombing people. There's two jihads. There's the smaller jihad, which people think of as bombing, you know, bombing Palestine, bombing Israel, for instance. And then there's the greater jihad. The greater jihad is the fighting of yourself, your conscience, against your flesh. And every religion has this concept of doing the inner work. And that was the idea, that you are self-aware enough to have those battles within yourself to fight your nature. Yes, every man is a lecherous pervert in some capacity of his life. But there's also a part of him that wrestles with that, that says, I'm looking at her butt. I shouldn't say how nice her butt is because she's my coworker.
That's how you control it.
I have these natural impulses that are biologically bred in me that I want to procreate, but I have to control those impulses to treat this woman with dignity and respect. And so we have become disgusted by the Al Franken's and the Roy Moore's of the world.
Who has? I haven't.
Right. But that's why I needed the amoral Tad Weston.
I don't give a shit about it. If you want to have sex, whatever. That has nothing to do with the government.
Right. So Tad has a very different
what?
View. Yeah, we'll get into it. I know Tad. That's why I invited on with this conversation.
You have a problem with Al Franken having sex with people? Or?
Well, he didn't. He just...
he didn't do shit. Who's had to put... Never mind. We'll get
all right, hold on.
We'll
let me finish
this.
Setting it up.
We'll get into this. I don't even like Al Franken.
But
we'll get into
virtue to the left and to the cultural left, which has infected most of society, including libertarians in many ways, it is how hard you can signal that you don't agree with that behavior. Well, that's not virtue. Virtue is fighting the temptation to behave that way. It is a personal struggle. It is not a public display. And we are in a weird place in society where we have completely lost sight of that, where we have no concept of what virtue actually means. And you, as a listener to this program, are always faced with different choices, because what I try to do is I have my opinion and our guests have our opinions, but we try to give you the full range of opinions so you can then wrestle with things yourself and come down on the side of what you think is best. And if you look at something like Roy Moore, you have to wrestle with the fact that this guy is probably a former child molester and that he probably did those things that he's accused of doing. Al Franken probably did those things that he is accused of doing. Did he do all of them? Are all of the stories accurate? Probably not. But are some of them true? Probably. Where's the truth? It's somewhere in the middle. We don't quite know. But is it good to have Al Franken if you're a liberal in the Senate? Well, a lot of liberals think that it is good to have him in the Senate long term. Right now, no. They're sacrificing him for the political short term to make Republicans look bad for supporting Roy Moore. If they throw Al Franken under the bus and say we don't support Al Franken, then the Democrats have a leg to stand on and say, Republicans, are you going to support Roy Moore? And they're trying to depress.
Mm-hmm. Goddamn
their,
right we are.
They know they're going to get a Democratic vote if they sacrifice Al Franken in Minnesota. But what they're trying to do is to play a short-term game by throwing one safe Democrat under the bus to try and depress the vote of Republicans in Alabama to give Doug Jones a fighting chance. So that's – now, if you're a person in Minnesota, that sucks. If you voted for Al Franken,
you're
that's
–
well, yeah. Al Franken, let's be honest. Al Franken, many of you may not recall this, but Al Franken got elected in 2008 – by basically stealing the election from Norm Coleman.
Yep.
It was by hundreds of votes that he won that election, and he just kept appealing it so many times that Norm Coleman and the Republicans eventually just gave up and said no. And that's how Al Franken got elected to the Senate. But he has become a popular Democratic senator, and here's the funny part about Al Franken is that he always kept his nose clean and his head down and just did the work. That's why he became so popular. But he wanted to run for president because of his own ego. and he started going out and doing book tours.
He's always been
making comments. Exactly, and that's how
he's
a
comedian. He's always, yeah, he's always been. He's never been in it for actually the politics side of things. It's just been a
right.
It's what people charge Donald Trump for,
but there's so
pretty much the same thing.
There's so many people who are morally outraged at Al Franken and want to scream, you know, Al Franken, Bill Clinton. But then they don't want to talk about Roy Moore, and they don't want to be consistent about Roy Moore. They don't want to be consistent about David Vitter. They don't want to be consistent about all these guys. Or and it's we're devolving into tribalism, and we're
devolving. We've been there.
We're in tribalism.
We've been there.
A lot of it because of Donald Trump, and social media has made it worse.
Identity tribes.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. And at the core of identity politics is virtue signaling. And libertarians are not supposed to play the identity politics game, because what that does is that's the rule of man and not the rule of law. Absolutely. Identity politics violates the core principle of libertarianism's rule of law. Now, you want to explain rule of law, Chris?
No.
No. All right.
You steal something, you get your hand cut off, damn it.
Right.
That's it.
The rules are written down and agreed upon.
Oh, that was Sharia.
That's Sharia, right.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were still on the...
The rule of law is that the rules are written down and are preserved generation to generation and followed by everybody, and everybody knows what the rules are. It's consistency. The rule of man is that we don't give a shit about those laws. We can change them as the public opinion goes.
As the wind blows.
As people think
then
that
there's
this...
There's too many to know.
Exactly right. The idea that the... See, this is where libertarians, Harry writes, LOL, rules are written down. This is where anarchists violate one of the core principles of libertarianism. They say, oh, write down the rules, fine. But that's the problem, right? Is that you're being governed by man. You're being governed by the whim of your community. You're being governed by innocent. You're governed by guilty until proven innocent. And there are no rules in the court of public opinion. That's why Rome fell.
Which is why I'm completely in support of Roy Moore and Al Franken. I don't care.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
I mean...
Is there any evidence... Oh, honestly, you can make more of an evidence for Al Franken than you can for Roy Moore. It's what they're charged with.
I mean, based on photographs, yeah.
Yeah, And even that, the photograph, is that something you have hard proof that Al Franken literally touched a boob or whatever? Maybe it was unwanted, whatever.
But he didn't.
Absolutely.
Like if you're looking at the photo, he clearly isn't.
It's a joke. He's a comedian on right. tour. Like, what is that to get upset about? I've never understood it. I don't get it. I don't understand why someone would be calling for his job. Okay, oh, he's a sleazeball. He's a fucking comedian. He's been on Saturday Night Live. Of course he's got shit. There's a picture on Drudge Report of him in a diaper. Like, what?
Really?
Like, yeah, like, what do you, what is this? Okay, I understand that you're, at some point you have to actually look at what these things are and if there's something there. I understand, listen, if it's unwanted and she comes out that this is sexual harassment or this was rape or whatever, that's different. But when, okay, we were doing an act and he stuck his tongue in my throat or whatever we were making out, okay, I don't consider that sexual harassment. I don't care. It may be unwanted, but it's not. He's not a rapist. He's not. There's degrees to this shit. It's not. It minimizes actual people who have been raped in my eyes, and it's ridiculous. It's just complete pandering on both sides of. Oh, look what he did. Look what she did. Now, if you want to get into the underage shit with Roy Moore or whatever, that. Yeah. Okay, you have a couple of accusers come forward 50 years later, and there's a signing. Okay, maybe there was some shit going on there. I don't know. But to sit here and say that this guy is a child rapist, that's a fucking big claim to be making in public, especially for someone that's run for office. And if you don't have any evidence other than a signature, which pretty much could be faked, I'm not going to go into it, but there's... It could have been fake.
What kind of evidence do you want from a bedroom from 50 years ago?
Yeah, exactly. Like, and if this guy is truly a rapist, why are you waiting till now to come out to talk about it? If he's had this past, why has this not come out and him been locked up? Because you're doing a disservice, especially with sexual predators like that. If he's a legit predator, this is not...
Well, they didn't have the courage to do it until Me Too.
This is not...
Where's your answer?
What do you mean?
They didn't have the courage to do it until the rest of the world stood up with them and told them they got it.
They didn't have the courage to come out. That's the problem.
That's a big deal. That's life changing to someone.
If it did. Yeah, but
it's life changing.
But so you're on the hook then for everyone else who's after you from that.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that, or would there? I mean, are you think you're the only victim? Obviously, if there are all these victims that came out from when they were 17, I know it's a touchy issue to get into. I'm just looking at it when it comes out now today in this.
There's no way to get that proof.
There isn't. I know. It's fucked up.
There's no way to get it.
It's fucked up. But to sit here and say that, oh, because you see this on both sides. It's, oh, he's a sexual harasser. Or he's a... And this shit, it's just... These terms get thrown out, and it's complete... It's like calling somebody a Nazi or whatever because you disagree with him almost. Now, I'm not saying that these women weren't. I don't know, but it's like, shit, you can't just sit here and say... Oh, sexual harassment or whatever. And then even I don't even think any of the women in Roy Moore's case said that he actually had sex with them, though, even though they were underage dating or whatever. I do think there was an underage dating. A mother said, well, you should be happy that the older man.
So to break it down, the 14-year-old is the serious one, and she's the one who said he twice brought her over to his house and one time put her hand on his penis when he was in his whitey tighties. Then there was a 15-year-old who said that he was trying to rape her, but as soon as she got loose and free, he didn't pursue her. Then there was a 16, a 17, and an 18-year-old who all basically said we didn't have sex, it was consensual, he was a gentleman, but it was creepy that I was young, and now that I look back, I go, what was he up to? And like, for people who say, oh, well, people got married young at that time, or this was 1980, and if it was such a...
70.
It was 1979, but if it were an acceptable thing in that community, why was he banned from the mall? And it just
came out too that it's kind of like, oh.
Yeah, but one guy who was the manager of the mall in 1983, 3 years after all these claims came out, is when he was the manager, and he said, no, he was never banned. Well, he was there 3 years after Roy Moore was banned from the mall and stopped going. So that's not a credible thing. There's a lot of conspiracy theory bullshit going on with the Roy Moore stuff. And what I really see from these people is they're new to politics. They have completely bought into the idea that anything that is non-right media, like the Washington Post, is not valuable information. I reject that wholeheartedly. I think you have to read the mainstream media skeptically and critically, just like you would if you're reading the Daily Kos or the National Review or the InfoWars or anything else.
You would read that the
libertarian.
Same way. With
exactly
skepticism,
right.
But you would still read it.
Exactly right. And I do. I listen to Alex Jones, and I treat him with the same level of skepticism and criticism that I do the Washington Post. And because if you're going to...
You have to look at every story individually.
Exactly.
You can't compare what he's allegedly charged with what... Al Franken charged with, or whoever. That's what people just want to say. Well, he's on the left, he did this. He's on the right, he did this. That washes out. Let's just fucking go on with it.
Right, and that's a huge problem that I have with this, is that people who were annoyed by their friends in the media with Roy Moore are now saying, ha-ha, we got a liberal in Conyers and Franken.
Exactly.
It's the moral equivalent. Let's get rid of him. And then if you defend Al Franken and say, let's take a step back and really look at all this information. It wasn't until the seventh accuser that Politico put out the day that people started calling for his resignation that was the one that I went, okay, there's a pattern here. He clearly does this. This is a credible report from a very credible publication in Politico. So clearly this guy's doing this or he did this. And so then you have to look at it and you have to go, I think he's a piece of garbage senator. I don't care if he stays or goes. In fact, I'd prefer that he left because he's popular and he's smart and he's good. and he's good at being a socialist, get rid of him.
The thing about
that's why I want him gone. It's not that he did. Mm-hmm. It's because I'm with you, Tad. Where I just look at it and I go, okay, I'm not.
It's not that I don't care. My thing right. is listen. You're talking about the internet. It's a global thing. You are literally talking about a senator from a state. Let that state decide it, and for everybody else who gets pissed off about it. Mm. I mean, you've got to have – it's a system we have, whether you like it or not. But somebody asked me, they're like, what do you think about this? I was like, to be honest with you, I don't give a shit. Now, if it was somebody who in Indiana, you know, who's getting right. accused of this, I would have a way more in-depth opinion or whatever.
But it's absolutely going to affect the vote totals.
It is.
It's absolutely going to affect federal law in your life.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is.
Even though it's Alabama. So you should
care about it. There's nothing I can do about it, though. What do you want me to do about it?
Right.
Well, I can't vote anybody in or out or whatever.
I would argue that...
I would hope that people were informed enough to...
I would argue that every single person listening has influence. And people say, well, what am I going to do about it? The publish button on your Facebook and Twitter is incredibly powerful. And if 6 years ago... Chris Galt and I and Creighton started this podcast, and we now reach tens of thousands of people yep. across the nation. And we have that ability because we, A, have talent, B, we're smart, and C, we got in at the right time, and D,
Google Plus.
We just kept doing it. And Google Plus. Like, and there isn't anybody listening who can't do that. Roger Paxton listened to We Are Libertarians, didn't like what he heard, felt he could do something different and better. And he's done something different, not better, but different, you know. And so that is capitalism. That is freedom that you hear or are involved in society and you speak up and do something differently. And then that starts to shift people towards you and away from the thing that you don't like. And I think that every single person has the opportunity to exercise their personal moral values and their personal ethics every single time they hit enter on Facebook or Twitter. Every single time you post something anywhere, you are personally persuading public opinion because we live in an age where it's like a beehive. Yeah, there may be one or two bees over here buzzing, and the rest of the bees may be in this section of the hive. But if you buzz loud enough and you find some honey, they may. That's how humans work. That's spontaneous order. One person finds gold in California in 1865, and then the country moves out there. Like, one person starts Bitcoin, sticks with it for 6 years, and then all of a sudden, hedge fund managers take notice, and now it's at 18,000. Like, the world, you look at Elizabeth Warren, who we talked about a couple weeks ago. Elizabeth Warren is this little-known professor, writes this paper, a senator who's rewriting the federal code, notices your paper and starts the CFPB. And then next thing you know, you're a front runner for 2020 presidential elections. Like, the world moves in very weird ways. And so the power of the individual is incredibly powerful. And every time you support Roy Moore or you argue in support of Roy Moore or argue against Roy Moore or any one of these cases, you are contributing to the buzz of the hive. And I think that you have power as an individual, and you need to make those choices. Secondly, I would argue that politics is power. And there's like this meme that libertarians always post, and I'm sure we've posted, I just didn't find it, where it is a politician with a podium on the end of a board over a cliff, and then at the other end is 100 people, and then one guy's walking off and says, all you got to do is just step off. And that is political power in a very visual way. And what people have done to Al Franken is people stepped off. And Roy Moore, people piled on to the board and said, he's in our tribe. We're going to protect him. He says he didn't do it. We've made up these conspiracy theories to, you know, refute that. And then that just becomes this alternate reality. And that's a very scary thing, because once you just start making up facts and then a segment of society just believes it because the other people believe it, like, that's scary. Because they're on your team. And that's the illusion of knowledge. Knowledge is really like us sitting here and the three of us have very clear experiences and very clear sets of knowledge. We sit together. We converse about the knowledge. People listening are listening into our conversation. They're combining our knowledge with their knowledge. And then they pass it on to their children, the next generation, and it builds and it builds and it builds. And so you have to be very careful about what viruses you're supporting in the human brain system. I mean, that's really where the concept of the meme comes in, is that Richard Dawkins felt that, and I may have this wrong, but Richard Dawkins felt like...
Yeah, I think it was Richard Branson.
Richard Branson. Richard Dawkins felt that religion was a virus of the mind. It was a mind virus that corrupted the human brain operating system and therefore needed to be eliminated to have humans work optimally. I couldn't disagree with him more.
Got the bug.
But I look at a lot of what's going on the left and the right and on my Facebook feed, and I go, wow, there's some really serious mind viruses out there right now.
Yeah.
I tend to come to pretty much everything with the with an open mind, and then if someone's charged with something, I'd like to try to say think they're innocent until proven guilty. I mean, even though I'm not in a court of law, but I think you have to break everything down by case, and then as far as the accusations go, you can be accused of anything, but especially running for public office, I don't know. I mean, I literally don't. But the thing is, if Roy Moore actually is what these accusers are saying he is, then he shouldn't be just losing in the court of public opinion. He should be tried, you know. He should be tried for his crimes. It shouldn't just be, oh, well, you're going to lose an election to a Democrat, and then everything's okay.
Well,
because it's not okay. It's not justice losing an election for his victims.
That's a good
point. I mean,
that's not
justice.
No. I do agree with you, but I also, like, innocent until proven guilty is a legal precedent.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't apply to voluntary exchanges, like... An election to run as a candidate is a voluntary choice. To work at Netflix doing House of Cards is a voluntary choice. It's a voluntary relationship. And so if Netflix doesn't want to hire you or fight for you, that's their choice. And
absolutely.
And so public opinion has always existed and always will exist.
I'm saying how I view things. I don't know how anybody else views,
but
shit.
I've just seen this out there a lot, and I just, as a libertarian, have a problem with it because I see people not separating the concepts of force versus voluntary, and like Roy Moore,
which is why I have no problem with George Takei blowing that guy or whatever on the beanbag chair. Like, what the fuck, dude? It's the 70s. He brings you back to his apartment after seven drinks from the bar, and you're complaining that your pants are down. Like, what? Like, that's not sexual assault. Come on, let's be honest.
So,
but if people go and vote for Roy Moore, then that's their voluntary choice that they still made, knowing what he did.
Absolutely.
And they're giving somebody that I think is a moral midget the power of government force. And that's why this is a more important choice to me.
And he shouldn't have got that far.
And everybody in Alabama knew that this was out there.
Apparently. Yeah. I mean, that's what reports are saying.
That's
so,
that's why
how much water is
this
holding?
Yeah, the
post. He's going to win.
They already knew.
He's not going to.
90% of Republicans just don't believe that this is true.
Well,
they believe
don't
Roy Moore.
The world's round.
I think it's 87% of Republicans just believe Roy Moore.
And steam beams melt.
Yeah. And so.
We're not going to steam beams.
It's because. And we talked about the propaganda loop that Steve Bannon has created on this. And Steve Bannon launched another little nuke. I really think Steve Bannon is a cancer on politics today now. Like, you know, you see what he did to Mitt Romney earlier this week, where he was like, you know, Mitt Romney came out and basically said, Roy Moore isn't fit to be in the Senate. He's a stain on American politics. And Mitt Romney is a guy who's been in the political spotlight literally his entire life. His dad ran for president. And
he was Mexican.
Yeah, he's a senator. And
he couldn't run for president because
he was born in Mexico. Yep.
Which, if you want to get into that, we can go down the Mormon loophole.
We don't have to.
Yeah, I know your listeners probably won't like it.
But literally, he's a guy who has lived a squeaky clean life and is probably one of the most...
Because he's got seven wives to clean up his mess.
Oh, he's got one wife and like 18 kids, okay?
It's a joke.
But... And he can speak from a place of he's not a hypocrite. And Steve Bannon comes out and says, you know, Mitt Romney can say what he wants, but you know what, brother? you didn't serve in Vietnam. You were off being a Mormon over across the seas, and you were because he was a missionary, I think, in France.
Yeah,
and
I laughed. I thought it was pretty good.
And your sons didn't serve in Iraq and Afghanistan, did they?
No, they
well,
didn't.
Donald Trump got a deferment because of his feet. I think Roy Moore got a deferment too. Like Steve Bannon was a naval officer, so he served his country. But that's but that little propagandic technique you're going to see used against Mitt Romney, because Bannon knows immigration, abortion. You know, he may have raped those kids, but do you want a liberal in politics who will vote for abortion?
I would argue no. Not for abortion. I don't care about abortion, but
but that's my point. It's like he's great at propaganda because he goes, literally, Steve Bannon will never affect a vote. The Alabama senator will not break a tie on abortion.
Will never go
hold
Democrat.
On. Steve knows how to push that button. And with the military thing, Mitt Romney will now forever be a draft dodger because of Steve Bannon launching this little mind virus against Mitt Romney from the Republican base. And he's a propagandist. He's a Goldman Sachs financier who dresses like a homeless person to pretend he's one of the blue-collar people.
And as a libertarian, I completely support it. I love it.
Right. Why?
Why? Because he can do what he wants. I don't give a shit.
But you support somebody who
I support his right to do it. I
manipulating
don't care what he's
people. He's manipulating people.
If you're stupid enough to be manipulated, then it's your fault.
Galt, what do you have to say?
Democracy's just never going to work.
It's not. You're absolutely right, Galt.
Democracy, the
this
god that
failed.
This
was doomed from the beginning. Because we just get stupider. It's like Idiocracy, the
it
movie.
It is. Right. It completely
every election, we get dumber.
But as a libertarian, you have to support his right to undermine whatever Mitt Romney's doing. Why is anybody even going after Mitt Romney? Who cares? Who cares what Mitt Romney says?
It's because he's
Evan McMullen.
It's because he's trying to run for senator of Utah, and so if
let him run for senator.
Orrin Hatch decides in the next month to step down,
he's old as fuck anyway.
He will end up being the senator from Utah, and then he will be a very prominent critic of the president. And Steve Bannon doesn't want
Nobody
that.
Nobody gives a shit about Mitt Romney. You can tell that by the election.
But people will give a shit because. Steve Bannon.
No, he's going to come in and say, I'm holier than thou.
He's playing 3D chess. He's because he will be the Republican senator who is the antithesis to
But you
Trump,
know, you know more.
And will be used in the media every single day.
You know, he was the face of the Never Trumpers and everything. That's why Bannon hates him, because they created the dossier.
Mm-hmm.
Know that, right? I mean, this is a lot deeper than what
yeah, it comes
being
from
led on.
Rick Wilson, who was his campaign manager, started
Rick Wilson, who's
the Steele dossier.
Cuck. You know about him on Twitter just getting raped by 4chan, right?
No.
Yeah, oh, it's great. Go and look at his... Never mind. It's like a year and
but
a
you
half
said
old.
That, you know, we started this by saying, you know, libertarians and purists and stuff like that. And then you have two different Republicans on totally different sides of ideology that are used against each other politically, that believe in totally different things, and they still... They work together on things.
Sure.
That's where libertarians need to get.
And that's such a great point, Galt. Like, and that's why
we won't move forward.
But
until
that's
we
why
get there. That everyone is a libertarian.
As a libertarian, you have to take what you can get. Is why I'm with whatever working with Democrats or Republicans, whatever gets through that's libertarian. I mean, whether it's a tax cut or whether it's decriminalizing a drug or whatever, I don't care who does it as long as the people
we'll
are
reach
more
free people
and
being
less
open like
less
that.
Regulation. I mean, come on, it's.
Well, that's why Roger and I promote each other. Roger may deep down think that I'm not a libertarian and that he's much more pure than I am and he's better than me. And
he is.
He tells me that because he's obnoxious, ostentatious, a buffoon. But he does a good show and I do a good show and we're on different sides of not a lot of issues, but politics. Like, we agree on core principles. But we are on opposite sides of how we should go about politics. But that doesn't mean that we can't be friends and that we can't promote each other's work.
Mm-hmm. And that you're not on the same side.
Right.
You are.
Exactly right. Like, because at the end of the day, I'm going to vote for Roger or Roger's best friend Daryl Perry way before I'm going to vote for Trump or Hillary. You know what I mean?
I actually voted for Daniel or Perry.
Really?
Yeah. I liked him.
Did you?
I didn't hear
I think
message,
you're,
but
I think you're full
I like
of shit.
His name.
I think you're full.
Ted's been full of shit this whole episode.
Isn't he the guitarist from like Guns N' Roses?
No. That's Slash, not Daryl Perry.
No, what's the Perry guy that's the guitarist?
Ted is just full of it every time he
I'm
comes on the
full
show.
Full of anything. All day. I'm full of uncooked fried pickles.
Oh,
Steve
silliness.
Perry. That's who I was
Steve
thinking
Steve Perry.
Of.
That's Journey.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Guns N' Roses, Kiss, they're all the same. What were we
yeah,
talking
pretty much.
About?
Well,
they're all 80s rock bands.
How do you... All right, so to tie it all back together, I mean, and Trump is the greatest test of conservatives and libertarians. Liberals, it's easy for them. They just outright hate the guy. But when you look at... if you're a conservative, like I listen to Ben Shapiro a lot, and Ben Shapiro just outright says... He's a moral troll. Like, there's just nothing about him that is good. And there's nothing about... I didn't vote for him. I'm not going to vote for him again. But
if you're looking for morals to come from government, you're going to have a bad time.
But if you put people in a position of leadership that are corruptible, and let's say Donald Trump is somebody that... let's say Putin does have goods on him, and he's using... bribery and blackmail to get him to do something, isn't that a problem? I mean, here's the question.
If...
At what... Which, where is no. you, where is your line? Are you 100% Tad? Hold on. I don't... Let me ask the question.
I wasn't even ready to talk.
Tad, you had too many beers over at the Stack Pickle.
I had one beer.
You had two. She comes over... He goes...
44-ounce beer.
He goes, can I have a beer? And she goes, 16 or 24. And he goes, I want one. And we all just looked at him. He's just on a different plane. And then I
live in a different world than everyone else.
I started laughing because then I realized he meant, no, I don't want 16 beers. I want one beer. But she brought him a
drink 16.
She brought him two 24-ounce beers. So he's full of 48 ounces of beer.
I just got rid of it. I'm good. I'm not.
But what is the moral line for you? When you go in and cast your vote for someone... Mm-hmm. What is the line for you in terms of I just want to win and I want a person who's going to vote?
I don't care
with
about
my
winning.
Values?
I voted for Gary Johnson. I didn't care about winning.
Okay, so it's so that
I knew Trump was going to win. Number one, number two, I don't give a shit what anybody says.
Okay,
I mean whatever comes out of their mouth. I mean, lying's one thing on the morality meter, but I care about what actual policies that you could get done or what you're going to get done or what you say you're going to get done. Now, if you don't get something done, I mean, it took Barack Obama couldn't even close Guantanamo Bay in 8 years. All he had to do was close it. I mean, and I don't even care that he didn't. It's just like, if you come in, you say, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and then all of a sudden you're doing it. All right, well, at least you're doing what you said you do. I find that to be more, I don't know. What are you talking about morally?
Who's your favorite congressman?
Congressman?
Yeah.
Andre Carson.
He always votes how he says he's going to, huh?
No, I hate that guy, actually. That was just the first one that came to mind.
I mean, what about you, Galt? I mean, you and I worked on a campaign
Justin
together.
Justin Amash, that's my favorite.
Yes. You and I worked on a campaign.
I like Amash. He was a good dude.
You and I worked on a campaign together.
Yeah.
And one of the most morally reprehensible people I've ever met in my life. You don't have to say anything, but I'll say it for us.
Rupert?
It was a... No. Rupert's awesome. Rupert lives exactly like you think he does.
I'm joking.
He was the biggest mistake of my political career, but it was good for the party. And I still to this day think, why did I do that? Well, a paycheck. You know, and that was it. And I look back and I go, you know, now I'm in a position where I don't have to do that because I'm not in that same position. But that's the complicated choice that you have to make where you have to go, listen, I'm a party official, and I think this guy's a real scumbag.
He walked into my store.
Really?
A few years later.
Uh-huh.
Talking, wearing a Trump shirt, all hyped up about the election.
Of course.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Got under my skin.
Yeah, I mean, but, like, do you look back at that campaign, for instance, and go,
Yeah, it wasn't the best campaign, but yeah. I learned a lot from it.
Right,
and I made so many connections in the party. I mean, I wouldn't have went anywhere without that.
Yeah,
I needed that.
Well, and I think you
I came back from California for that.
Yeah,
you know?
And I don't think that you knew.
No,
going into it,
I didn't.
Well, and that's the thing. Like you sometimes, and people don't understand this. You get into something, and then you go 2 months in, you're like, ugh, yeah. Yikes.
Well, there were two of us, remember? Two right. campaign managers.
Right.
And there was only one after like a month. It was me.
Who's the other?
Charles.
Oh, Eaton. Yeah.
Well, Xavier. I know. He had other Eaton? Stuff to do.
Yeah. No. But I mean, and so I think sometimes we look at these situations and we take somebody's like, well, you worked on that campaign. You aren't a moral person. You go, yeah, but here's the whole story, and you don't know the whole story. And
that's true. You know, I never thought about it like that.
You never give people the benefit of the doubt mm-hmm. when it's like you're trying to make a cheap political point of you're less moral than me. You're less ethical.
Yeah.
I throw that to the wind. I'm just like, whatever. What's shiny?
That's what a lot of this identity politics brings out.
It is.
It's not about facts. It's about you versus me.
There's no consistency.
It's you versus
ideology.
Me, them versus us.
I mean, so how do we live in a world of identity politics, Tad?
You don't. You kill yourself.
I need you to focus.
I'm joking. That,
I know
Tad needs more beer.
I do. I'm running dry. Run on about a quarter tank. No, how do you live in this? I don't know. There's so many factors, it seems like now. It used to just be, we had, four newspapers, and then you had the state, the local, and then, the New York Times and the Coast papers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you got your news and what to think from. And it was do you want pretty much, I mean, let's be honest. It used to be Republicans and Democrats, and they overlapped 60%. I mean,
right. Yeah.
You were voting on like three.
Before the internet, there were two identities.
Yeah. And then
now there's 100.
I know, right?
Z.
There's only two Zer. Genders, though. Right. I can tell you that. You can have all the identities you want. There's only two genders.
And one co-host.
Yep.
Anyway.
I don't know where I was going with that, but it's just, there's so much shit anymore. You got to. I don't know. It'd be nice to have some shit goggles.
I think it really comes down to, I think maybe, and kind of where I've come down on it, you've got to take some time away from it all to step back and examine what you really believe and who you really are and what you will accept. So when those choices come along, you know where you stand. Because I think if you're just constantly in a perpetual motion machine and you're perpetually busy, then you don't sit there and take the time to think about what you really believe.
And a lot of people are, and they'll just hear one or two things, a radio, or they'll see a headline on a TV. And it's like, do you have that baseline of what you actually believe that you've thought out? That's the main thing, is trying to figure out where you actually stand baseline-wise, and then where... on what side does this fall, whatever issue you're talking about? Or what? Who knows? There's so much shit. It's like everything nowadays is politicized.
If you're asking yourself that question right now, I always tell people to start at the smallest political quiz.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Start right there. It gives you 10 issues that you can, if you don't know the answer to one of them, then you can do some research about it, and it's not overwhelming. And then you'll get an idea of where you stand, and you can start from there.
Yeah.
You know?
Just Google world's smallest political quiz. It's also... if you go to wearelibertarians.com and look for Path to Liberty, and it's right there. You click that, and it tells you to take that first. But, yeah, I think in sharing things, you see these headlines, and you go, oh, this agrees with my bias. Let me share it. Take a beat and read it first.
Yeah, just the headline. I mean, you can get completely fucked out on headlines if you just read the headline. And then you can go through the articles and be like, well, wait a minute.
This doesn't even say what the headline said.
Yeah, this makes nothing, no sense. And then it's like, well, what conclusion? Nobody really stops to think what the conclusion.
Yeah.
I think we all just need to slow down a little bit, because it's all, everything's 10 second. Oh, it's a tweet. We got to share this.
There's so much information.
We got to be the first one on this. We got to be the first one on that. Al Franken did this. He grabbed a tit. Oh. But it's like, oh, shit, he's a rapist. Whatever. Maybe he is. But you've got to stop and sit here and think, dissect the what the actual situation is, situation by situation, and think about it. I mean, you just don't come to a conclusion in 2 seconds. I mean, that's the worst thing you can do, honestly.
Yeah, and I think we're just so quick to comment.
We don't give any time to actually reflect on what we're actually thinking.
Yeah, these little serotonin boxes that we've developed for ourselves on our phones.
I got two of them.
Yeah, I mean, it really, and, you know, I've got two iPads and a phone and a computer and two screens at work. And, like, I'm immersed in technology all day and I love it. But at the same time, like, are you doing things that are just trying to get attention? Are you attention-seeking to get serotonin? Like, that's a bad strategy for life. Because that's bad for your brain.
Especially if you're decision-making off of that,
exactly,
too.
Right. I mean, like, if you're... I've noticed that the worst decisions I make...
Are impulse.
Are impulsive decisions with my phone in my hand. And if I just took a second to... And I do this now. I didn't do this until, like, this year. Set it down. Take some time. Walk away from the issue. People are... They don't need... You can say, I'm going to take a break. You know, and sometimes saying you're going to take a couple weeks doesn't work out the way you think it will. But if you just, but that's not your decision. Like, you're not saying and doing, the things that have caused me problems in my life are impulsive. And I think the president, if you look at the president.
Oh, he's got a big problem with tweeting.
Yeah, and I will be honest, like, I went and looked at his tweets today because I wanted to see what he said about Al Franken. Very presidential. It looked like Barack Obama's Twitter feed. If you go pull up
you
his
know,
Twitter feed,
right? Really, he hired Obama to write for him.
I don't have Twitter.
You know, okay.
I use Discord, and Google Plus.
So, who is on Google Plus?
Oh, everyone.
Who are you talking to?
Sergey and the other guy that invented Google.
I mean, it's the third largest social network. There's millions of people
because they raped people
MySpace.
And put people in Google Plus, force them into it.
It's all bots, all Russian bots.
Exactly. You want a YouTube channel? Here, have some Google Plus. Nah, I'm good, fam.
They force you to get one.
Yeah. Anyway. So if you look at his Twitter feed, all here. Pull up Trump's Twitter feed.
I don't have Twitter. I just told you.
Yeah. So Trump for 4 days has not tweeted anything crazy. And I think maybe he's got his impulse. He's got somebody.
He's been tweeting about Pearl Harbor.
Right. Nothing offensive like them slanty eyes bombed Pearl Harbor.
But it's so good when he does that.
I know. But.
What are you talking about, Alfred?
It's not good because it fuels the same fire that we're talking about.
Exactly. And that's the problem
with
the
same kind of impulse reactions to everything instead of stopping and thinking through.
I have two theories on this, okay? First,
you realize there's a Donald Jr. He could be the one tweeting them.
Let me start with the more scandalous of the two.
What tweet am I supposed to be looking at?
I mean, just look. There's no tweet, right? There's nothing on there that's red meat where you go, oh, that's Trump. That's classic Trump.
I don't know. He's talking shit about Pelosi in this one, but this was from like 3 days ago.
That's what I'm saying. Like 4 days, it just kind of stopped. So I think...
Whatever. I don't care.
Hold on. All right. I'm gonna mute you.
He's been
I got you muted. Yeah. All right. I want you to listen to this because Trump, I said in an episode a week or two ago, like, he doesn't sound very good. And then at the end of the press conference about Jerusalem yesterday, he started slurring. And I don't know if he has dentures and we just didn't know about it or what, or if he's having a stroke or dry mouth or he's exhausted because of his age and his diet is 2 Big Macs, 2 Filet-O-Fish, and a malted. But this was him at the end of the press conference yesterday afternoon. Hold on, sorry.
To possible and possibilities. And finally, I ask the leaders of the region, political and religious, Israeli and Palestinian, Jewish and Christian and Muslim, to join us in the noble quest for lasting peace. Thank you. God bless you. God bless Israel. God bless the Palestinians. And God bless the United States. Thank you very much.
Did he turn into Liza Minnelli there? The United States, though.
It sounded like he was biting his tongue. Yeah. Or bit his tongue or something.
Exactly. And then there's been no crazy tweets ever since. So
maybe he's dead and there's a robot now.
Maybe it's Dave. Have you ever seen Dave with Kevin Kline? Great movie. He brings in his CPA, and they fix the federal budget, and over pizza, it's great. Great movie. But so he's either dead, and that's why he's not creating crazy stuff, or he's realized I'm the greatest detriment to myself. Because if you...
I don't think he gives a shit, to be honest with
you. Well, somebody has started to give a shit. And
well, I think it came from the whole... They were going to get him for obstructing justice, which
maybe
he technically
hurt his
can't
feelings
do,
about
but...
the whole dentures thing.
Yeah.
Maybe that hurt his feelings, and he's been moping.
So here's the thing about Trump's. You guys both like Trump, right?
I don't dislike him. I'm not. I didn't vote for him. I knew he was going to win because, I mean, he's a shit poster,
right?
But I mean, he's doing what he says he's going to do.
Have some everybody principles, hate, man.
Everybody who I don't like kind of hates him, but right. So I go off that. That's more. That's where I get my morality from. If somebody hates you, who I think's a shithole, whatever. All right, you might be decent. I don't know.
Cool.
I look at it politics. I don't like or dislike people.
Okay.
As people.
I think he's a good dude. I mean, look at his kids. His kids are that not like mass said, murderers.
I don't think he's been the greatest thing.
Right.
I don't think America's great right now still.
I think if you're a Trump fan, you want him to get out of his own way because like the last two weeks have been really good for him.
Yeah.
Like it's come out, basically people are starting to realize the judiciary is being transformed.
Mm-hmm.
He's
all
just
of those lower appointments.
He's just putting in a ton of Federalist Society, and like libertarians would by and large agree with Federalist Society judges because mm-hmm. they're strict constitutionalists.
Yeah.
Yep. The economy is killing it. Like not just Bitcoin, but the economy at large
is
doing well
under him. Yeah,
right. We've had the stock market's doing real well. The unemployment is at the lowest point in 17 years.
We passed tax reform.
The tax reform is going to pass,
and I've been waiting for that for a long time.
That's something that a lot of libertarians. It's not a great tax bill, but at least the corporate taxes are something that could hopefully. So when here's the deal with corporate taxes, with business taxes, if it's like the Patreon thing I was talking about earlier, for every dollar that Patreon takes out of this or every fee that there is, so if you give me $10 and I get $9, well, if I get $9.50, well, that's great because then I'm going to spend that money elsewhere, right? And so with corporate taxes, with business taxes, the money comes from three distinct places. First, they raise the prices of the goods. They don't do that because what that does is prices them out of the market. Yep. Second, they can return less value to their shareholders, the people who have invested in their company. Well, they don't want to do that because then their stock prices and their shareholders bolt, so they don't do that. Third is they can pay their employees less. Well, that's the one that they usually do. And so if you have businesses paying less taxes, we're going to have lower prices on goods, we're going to have higher wages, and we're going to have better dividends, and taxes on businesses are really double taxation because money that you were taxed on is going into a business and then being taxed on the business side, and it's double taxation.
It's almost triple, too, when it gets passed on to the employee.
And if you
invest taxes triple. On what...
You're not even talking about inflating money. Let's talk quadruple.
And let's talk
taxation is theft.
Quintuple when you invest in a company and you start buying stocks and then you cash out and pay capital gains taxes, then you die, inheritance taxes.
Centuple.
That's centuple.
But
so,
he got rid of that too.
So yes.
Did you hear about the liberals bitching about that? Oh my God, now all the rich people give their money to their kids for free and it doesn't go to the government, and then like what?
Stupid.
Like what?
Everyone gets to.
Like what? Yeah, it's not just rich people. You're getting a tax cut too.
You can plan your life out now to leave something for your kids and know that half of it won't get stolen from you.
You realize wealth is built through like generations, not just like every once in a while somebody will create like Facebook and get rich, but I mean, shit like that doesn't come along.
Like, the economy is built on the back of people who start companies with 30 employees.
Yeah.
It isn't the
small
Facebooks
business.
It isn't the Facebooks of the world. So,
because they really don't even do anything.
So, we have, if you're
Facebook doesn't.
Like I was saying, if you're a Trump supporter, there's a lot of really good news out there for Donald Trump to go out and promote. But what he does is he goes out and steps on his dick.
Did you know?
And he goes out and he retweets Britain First, which is their version of the KKK, and then starts an international incident with his Twitter. And so then instead of his surrogates going out and telling the good news of Donald Trump's administration and all the good things he's doing, they have to go and defend him. And yes, the media is never going to give the guy a break. Okay, we know that. Donald Trump is never going to win with the mainstream media. We understand that. But instead of talking about tax cuts and judges were talking about the morality of his tweets.
It's almost better, though.
Well, you saw
him.
He doesn't have, he's been kicking the mainstream media out. He has a lot of smaller networks in there now. One America News is in the White House.
Yeah, that's a YouTube Info channel. Wars.
Basically,
like he's letting those people in because he knows they will.
I know the One America News is basically the Russia Today of the conservative right wing.
Do you know what I want? I just want someone to give me a statement of what happened, and then I don't need a fucking story.
Right.
I just need.
I don't need all your.
Okay, Donald Trump passed a bill. Just put that in the news. Like I don't. I'll discern whether or not I think it's good or bad, or whether or not transgender people be pissed off about it.
You're so INTJ.
I am. I just want to just boil it down to the bare minimum, and I'll make a decision on it. But I. What were we talking about before this? I had a point. The news. I know. I'm not even drunk. It's like,
this is just
No, this is just me. Yeah. Like, if I was drunk, I'd be way better. But 80% of the news coverage from Donald Trump since he's been elected for a year has been negative.
Of course.
Which, it's hilarious. I mean, it's kind of brought on himself. But and then I think it's only like 15% is like negative/positive or neutral/positive. So it's like, he doesn't get any. There's no. You can't find any. Type in Donald Trump accomplishments first year. You can't find anything.
Right.
I did.
There's
on
nothing.
The page right
you
now.
Can't That's, find anything.
I just
no. Literally, I was in the bathroom earlier, and I was like, or 2 days ago, I was like, I need to figure out. Like, surely there's got to be like a just something that shows what he's done.
161 accomplishments in 300 days.
But they're technically not his accomplishments. They're Barack Obama's.
And they're what they think are accomplishments.
Yeah, and it's like it's Catholic news media or something. It's like, yeah, he still hasn't. Like,
its first accomplishment says military, and it says he delayed the beginning of the opening of military to transgenders.
Yeah.
So that's an accomplishment.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's an accomplishment. It's not an accomplishment whether you agree with it or not.
Right.
Like, I mean, you could argue that going into that Iraq is an accomplishment for George Bush. I mean, that's what he did. It's just something he did. Like
he accomplished it.
Just throw the shit out there. Let's figure
this
out.
Positive or negative.
Yeah, I mean, just put it out
just
there.
Just what happened.
I can't stand the media.
Give us what happened.
I don't even want... just tell me what he did. I don't...
All right, well, I don't feel like we came to a conclusion here, but...
Donald Trump's awesome. What are you talking about? He's got all the liberals pissed off.
It's true.
Just call me a skeptic.
And that makes me happy, so...
Just call me a skeptic.
I don't know. Listen.
Ask me again in 2020 if I'm voting for him. I didn't this time.
He's building the wall. That's all I know.
I gotta wait.
Hey, immigration is down like 60-something percent.
It's true.
But we're a lot, in some ways, policy-wise, we're a lot better off than what
he's,
we could have
He's actually been the king of deregulation, to be honest with you.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, from a libertarian perspective, he's for every law he's passing, he's getting rid of two or whatever. I think he's gotten rid of like 168 or something. I can't remember what the fuck it was or positions. What I don't know.
He's just not filling whole
he's
department.
I don't care if he gets rid of the whole department, whatever.
I'm with you.
I mean, he put him, what's his name, in front of the
EPA?
Guy from Texas.
Rick Perry.
Rick Perry is like, I don't even know what this shit is.
I don't believe in global warming.
He's like, I don't even know what it is.
Greenland has melted into the sea.
I don't give a fuck about Greenland.
Venice, 100 days of the year, has water in the parts that it isn't supposed to have water.
Fuck them. They should have moved to Texas. We got oil.
Miami is rapidly sinking underwater.
Yeah, get them Puerto Rican back, Puerto Rico.
Antarctica clearly is melting.
Nobody lives there anyway.
The biggest ice shelf is the Queen Mary's falling into the sea.
So we can mine it now.
Right. Exactly.
Who cares if the ice melts? Then we can mine the shit out of it.
And that's one of those things where, like,
California needs water.
Yeah. They're on fire and they're bitching about global warming.
Global warming is one of those things where, like, I just don't know a lot about climate change, but... I have never really learned a lot about it, and it never seemed like when I was in politics to be politically, it just didn't seem like a good idea to have an opinion on it. but now, you know, yes, the Earth overall, the entire temperature is cooling, but that doesn't mean that the parts that matter are cooling. Like, in Antarctica.
Like Africa is getting cooler, so they can actually grow food now.
Right, and Antarctica and Greenland, where we don't, like, all these big fires, these big wildfires in L.A., basically that smoke has to go somewhere. So that goes up into Greenland. The ash settles on the north and south poles. It heats up those ice shelves.
It gets black, so it gets more.
It gets black, so all that starts, and then these massive mountains of ice start falling into the sea. And so now you do, in a place like Venice, 100 days out of the year, you have, it's underwater where it's not supposed to be underwater. Yes, Venice is supposed to have the canals. Like, Miami is lifting the city. New York is lifting their city because of the rising oceans.
You realize the Earth used to be like one big continent, right?
Right, Pangea, but...
Yeah,
okay,
so.
Right. What? Fine, that was 8 million years ago.
So
what,
I'm not worried about it.
Right,
like,
I've got 60 years. What do I care?
Yeah, exactly.
But it just is very
are you
clear.
You going Michael Moore on us?
You just... the facts are in front of your face.
Shit always changes.
But no, the facts are in front of your face. Water is in places it's not supposed to be.
Because of natural disasters and things we can't control.
Exactly right. All right, so now
how
what do
we do? How is raising my tax going to fix this? It's not.
Right. So you can look at
we
it.
We need to develop technology to control the weather.
Right.
Absolutely.
We have that harp.
Crazy. We need to do that. We need to be able to control the weather. That will help solve a lot of these problems and a lot
sounds
of these
like
disasters.
A globalist
let's
to me.
Let's just sit back and let him explain
it's
this.
It's not like that we haven't tried that before.
Right, seeding clouds and things. Come on. Like, Elon Musk is somebody who does...
It's not far-fetched.
So
he's a foreigner.
He is, and from South America, so he's got that weird accent.
He's going to use a rocket to go to Mars and then use it again and again and again. The same rocket.
You're going
to
be so tired of the rocket.
10 years ago, you would have told me that was crazy. It burns up when it comes back in, you know? You got to pick them up in the ocean.
Now, if you make it out of diamonds. I don't know.
Do you play Minecraft or something?
I don't know. I'm just speculating on what he makes his rockets
out
of.
No, like, all right. So Elon Musk is somebody who, all right, CO2, wildfires, changing weather patterns, all of these contribute to the ice caps melting. That, which is a problem.
It's Donald Trump's fault.
Like, the Maldives are not going to exist in 100 years. Like, it's happening. All right? So those are facts. Like, you can't sit there and say this doesn't happen because you can watch any video on the internet and see for yourself the giant ice cliffs falling into the sea. Like, these are facts. Okay? You can go and read listen, I love the Koch brothers, but the Koch brothers have heavily invested in fossil fuels, and they fund the Heartland Institute, which is a great institute, but also is a climate change denying organization because the Kochs, who are invested in fossil fuels, want them to be, and want them to create facts to get you to misdirect you. And so, how do we stop?
I love oil.
How do we stop the problem? Do you pass a worldwide carbon tax that slows? Well, China's never going to comply with that. It's like gun control, okay? So there is a problem. There needs to be a solution. What's the solution? Capitalism is solving the problem in Tesla. Go look at Tesla.
Yep.
They're solving the problem. Like, Vice did a great documentary on the future of energy on HBO, which you can find on YouTube. And they talk about, like, all these super colliders and all these, like, power plants that are being built and Tesla's batteries. Like, that's going to solve our carbon emissions problem.
It's going to be miniature nukes is what it's going to be.
Is exactly right. It's 100% true.
I know. I'm an ANCAP. I know this.
And McNukes. So, McNukes in your backyard. That's not even a joke. Like, this little nerdy kid in Las Vegas created backyard nuclear reactors that are going to power your house forever.
Because batteries aren't clean. However clean you think a battery is, it's not clean. It all comes from, what are they called? Conflict minerals, and it's all mined. It's not.
And that's my point it's with not, controlling the
there's,
weather.
There's no way to actually control it. I mean, if you think humans can control it, no, all we do is fuck shit up. But we find a way to fuck shit up differently. It's like when, before the automobile was invented, horse manure was a huge fucking problem. Like, the streets of New York were just covered, like,
and
there were literally
truckloads
of shit.
Innovation
and
profit.
Yeah, I mean, it's you free time. Market.
That's the one.
It wasn't, no one set out to solve the problem of how to get rid of horse shit. It just came along because there's a different way of transportation. It's a different way of thinking. It'll work itself out.
When
I'm not
worried about it. When I have a conversation with a friend that's not a libertarian, but it's a political conversation, that's usually where I end up is they're like, well, How do you solve any problems?
You don't. The government doesn't.
The government doesn't solve
the government doesn't solve any
actually,
problems.
Most of the
problems are from regulation.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you want to look into it.
I saw this
regulations are just when the government doesn't allow the market to solve the problem.
Yeah.
That's what a regulation.
I saw some market finds a way though eventually.
And you can't explain that to someone that doesn't understand libertarianism.
Yeah. We don't know everything. We don't know how to fix everything.
But it will be fixed.
Mm-hmm. If there's money,
right? So Antifa basically shared this thing that, you know, Jeff Bezos is worth $100 billion while his employees make $35,000 a year. And this is why capitalism is the problem. And I wanted to go,
move to
dum-dum, you realize none of those $35,000 jobs, the hundreds of thousands of jobs that Amazon will probably create over the course of its run as a business, the millions of jobs, are because of capitalism. Like, just because one dude has stock. Like, anytime somebody talks about Jeff Bezos being the problem, they don't understand how stocks work. Like, just because he owns the majority of Amazon.
You realize this is the dickhead who created the company you work for?
Right.
Like, he's the reason you have a job?
Right. So, I was
even though they are going to get outsourced by robots, I mean, let's be honest.
Vox did a podcast on all the carve-outs in the tax bill and all the gimmies. And they were just bemoaning the tax bill because it's ending a lot of goodies. You know, and
it's all McGibbs.
They talked about, like, the teacher's credit is being ended. So if you buy school supplies, teachers would get a credit for that. Well, I buy supplies for my businesses and my employer all the time, and I get reimbursed, but like the notebooks that I use at work, I don't get tax credits for that. So why should a teacher? Like, there's
the problem is that they have to buy that shit in the first place. Like, come on.
Right.
Like,
well, it's because of irresponsible parents, but
exactly. You want to get into parenting?
The teacher unions.
45 minutes on that.
The teachers unions were just trying to give a carve out for their people, and some Democrats were trying to curry favor with them. So you have all these gimmies in the tax code, and that the Republicans are ending and giving you a higher standard deduction. And that's what, like, they didn't mention is, yeah, that tax credit may end for teachers, but they're going to get twice the amount of the standard deduction. So you're actually going to, you know, like, I will get $12,000 instead of $6,000 as a standard deduction. Married couples will get $24,000 instead of $12,000. So it's going to even itself out for middle class folks like us. But if you listen to the liberal media, this is an Armageddon when it's just not. It's just not the case. So you have, but Vox
I've
was
never
basically
seen so many people upset that they would be getting more money back.
It's
or actually really money that they made keeping. I mean, nobody actually talks about it like that. You were actually going to get to keep more of the money that you made.
Yeah.
You're not getting it back. It's not the government giving you the fucking money, you tard. You've already paid this money to the government, and you're lending it to them.
Right.
At zero interest, and they give it back to you at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? So,
you know how much more less it's worth at the end of the year?
It's less more than what I put
in.
Let's
tax your Bitcoin currency when it gains value, but
I don't own any Bitcoin.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's your fault.
So you, wink. Vox was basically saying,
they're
Vox
trying
was
to make
like,
that illegal.
I know they are.
Over the last 20 years, the tax code has really been slanted towards.
Vox, that's your problem.
That's, but you have to listen to everything. And so there's.
No, you don't. There are some things you can just say, nope.
When someone shares a Keith Olbermann video on my Facebook, I'm like, nope.
I turn on the weeds. When I want to get pissed off and get ready for the gym and get my tea up, I turn
you put on Soy Boys.
I put on the Weeds by Vox, and it's just like all these emasculated little liberal men sitting there talking about, well, they all kind of talk like this very androgynously, and they have all these horrible dad jokes, so then they all go, it's so hilarious. It's hilarious. So anyways, the Republicans, the tax code. This guy literally talks like this, and I don't think it's Ezra Klein, but I think it's Matt Tabai, who's a cancer. He's like, the tax code for the last 20 years has really been bent towards the white male middle class, who is a small business owner who has gotten a lot, and the workers have really been hurt. They're just giving a lot of tax breaks to employers. Well, yeah. And he's like,
about the people actually work.
Right.
And, what the fuck is that?
Okay, you communist. I'm fighting for the labor. Where the fuck do you think the labor comes from? They get a job because of management. They get a job because my dad, a small business owner, is out there creating new business to hire employees and expanding his business, and at one point hired over 100 people. I'm trying to grow We Are Libertarians into a business so I can hire people to help inform the population about libertarian principles.
She said mute.
Mittens literally.
She's a socialist.
Mittens
she was
literally.
Like, shut it off.
Mittens literally ran up and tried to hit my mute switch. It was so funny. She's a communist. Oh my God. I started talking about the proletariat and the.
Before that, she was just sleeping over there.
She was. And then when I started talking about how management is good, she ran over and tried to mute me.
She said, I'm sick of this Red Scare going on in this room.
Typical fucking SJW cash,
Russian
man.
Propaganda.
Trying to keep you quiet. So, yeah. The tax code should be bent towards business owners because they're the ones who give us jobs and give us more economic opportunity.
No, it shouldn't even be bent towards. It should just be, if you're going to tax somebody,
flat.
Just tax them.
Fair. Right?
Be flat with it or get rid of the tax. I mean, and number, just figure, the tax system's
now I've got a tax plan. It starts with
7-7-7. No, no, no. Listen, y'all, 9-9-9 sounds even better. All right, guys.
God damn, who was that? Herman Cain.
Herman Cain. Yeah. Ended because of a sex scandal.
Yeah. God forbid.
I saw on.
What do you do? Have sex with his wife?
I saw Laura. Kinda. Laura Ingraham. I think he had an affair, and then it started his marriage. But
who
cares? Then I saw Newt. Newt on Laura Ingraham talking about sex scandals, and he was kind of sticking up for Al Franken. I'm like, yeah, you would, because that's why you got dethroned as the leader of the House, because of sex scandals. So, all right, guys, we need to start wrapping up. Final thoughts for this episode, Chris Galt.
No real final thoughts. Just don't read everything like Spangle says. Don't look at everything. Watch that box. Go watch that.
Listen, that's what I'm here to do. You hire me.
Just watch. If you do watch it, or read it with an open mind.
Yeah.
And kind of like have your baseline. I read a headline the other day. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, this is juicy. And then I was like, wait a minute.
Join me and be a skeptic. Yeah. Skeptic of everything.
You have to be a skeptic these days.
I get labeled conspiracy, but it's skepticism.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Anything else?
Thanks for having me on. See you guys
soon.
Couple weeks.
Tad?
After Christmas. I
where the fuck is my Tad Talks?
About that. I sold my microphone for heroin. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't. I couldn't get enough heroin for that. No, I've been busy and I've been sick. I don't know. I've been sick for like the last 2 weeks. Like, I don't know. I don't know why I'm making excuses for not doing it. I just haven't. I've had a lot of content and I haven't really wanted to do it. I know the people have been wanting it.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of just been. I forgot how much I love doing this, talking shit into microphones.
Yeah. You got a lot to say.
I know. Yeah. I do have a lot to say. And I've got.
Are you
it's
on
important.
The Discord?
I don't know. No, I
what?
I
they talk about
I
you on
tweet.
There a lot.
I know.
They were all wondering about your next podcast, and I was like, well, we're going to be on tonight.
Nobody knows.
They were all asking about
nobody
you.
Nobody knows. I get messages all the time. Hey, when are you going to do another podcast? I was like, I don't know. I've got.
Well, you
got
to at least get on Discord. We'll make you a channel.
Yeah,
so
make
you
me
can a, Tad talk in a channel,
make
and people
me a
can just come talk to you.
I just get burnt out super quick on shit. I don't know why that is. But I don't know. I'm weird. Everybody
come
fucking
do it for
knows that if you listen to this.
And then you can leave.
Yeah, I'll do it for like a week. I got a million things going on in my mind. But I think this was a good podcast. I know we didn't really get into a whole lot of what Trump's done in the past year. It's just kind of, we kind of did a what's in the aura podcast.
Yeah.
We talked about a lot of shit.
It's an old school, it's a...
It was... Yeah, it did feel pretty like the old school type.
We've gone well. This is mid school, so there's old school, which is like
I didn't like middle school. Okay,
four subjects in an hour, and then there's mid school, which is 3 hours on a single subject, meandering through lots of ADD, and then there's new school, which is
just go with the flow,
a nice blend of the two. But this is very mid school. I like it.
Yeah, I don't. I mean. I don't mind Trump. I think he's doing what he said he was going to do. If you voted for him, I think you're probably happy. And I think you're probably actually more bought in because of what his haters are doing, like trying to get
trying to find some collusion or bull, whatever. That's a whole other fucking episode we can do. But
tell Creighton to bring some boxing gloves.
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait. I want to be ringside for the reenactment or whatever, whatever happened. But no, I had a good time tonight, and I love doing this. And I don't want to think anybody think I'm sticking up for child molesters, but.
That's where I thought you were at first when I said, what?
No, I wasn't going to go full.
I thought you were going full there.
I wasn't
like,
going full,
man.
Like, full libertarian. Yeah, I don't know. backwoods Vermont, whatever they believe up there. But
the government can't tell me who I can't.
Here's the thing about Tad is Tad's politics are like your grandpa's politics. So, like, Tad.
If you're white, I'm voting for you.
Right. No. No, not racist, but like. Tad is one of those guys who is like, you know, he hangs out at the sports bar on the weeknights because he doesn't have a wife, so he doesn't, you know, I'll just go.
Because I choose not to. I'm not.
Drink a few beers. He's not
gay.
Queer or anything. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, I tried it a couple times.
And so you basically are like, you just don't care about much. You just, all those people over there need to do this. He's just old school politics.
I don't think anybody should be able to do any. Like, just stay the fuck out of my life. So, I don't know. I don't know why people get so upset about.
So that. Yeah, he's out there screaming out into the wilderness, hoping somebody.
He reminds me of Bad Narc.
Yeah, well,
I don't know what that is, but it's probably good.
I got a bad case of the Bad Narc once. It was.
Oh, man.
No.
Narcan? Like the shit they shoot?
No, Michael Badnarik is a he teaches a class in the U.S. Constitution. Really interesting guy. Ran for president in the LP. Look up Michael Badnarik if you want to learn more about the Constitution from a libertarian perspective.
I've been to his class. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, my final thoughts. You pay me through Patreon to read all the stuff so you don't have to. I tell you what you need to know and what you need to care about and what's a big deal or not. And that's what we do here. You give me 4 or 5 hours a week, and I will tell you what you should care about. And I will tell you all the reasons that everybody else cares about it, and then you can make up your own mind. So that's really what I'm trying to do, and it takes a lot of time. I don't really do much but read news, and I love it, and I'm having a great time doing this over the last 3 or 4 months. The people are responding to it well. I appreciate that. I appreciate that you guys are enjoying the show in this new age. And we're having a lot of fun. Like, the community that has kind of sprang up around the Discord and in the two Facebook groups, really fun, really fun. And the best part about being a Patreon subscriber, yes, you get the bonus content. Yes, you get the extra stuff. But you also get access to a Facebook group that's much smaller, much more intimate, and it's fun. Like, it's just more fun to interact with more people, and so that's the great thing about being a Patreon subscriber, especially at $10 and up. You get access to that Facebook group, and you get more friends. And who couldn't use more friends?
That's cheap.
Yeah.
Quit paying for Pornhub Premium and give Spangler your $10 a month.
So yes, that's what we're doing here. We're trying to make you sound smarter when you're talking with your friends, give you the skinny on information, and giving it to you through a libertarian lens so you know that it's not full of dogma, that it's with clear eyes, and hopefully you can trust it. And if not, listen, don't trust me. Just go, you know, I've been in politics and media for 15 years, okay? I've worked at every level media and politics that you can here in Indiana. And I'm cynical for a reason. You know what I mean? Like, I can tell what's bullshit and what's not. So if I'm really worked up over something, there's probably a reason. Part of the reason, like, the Roy Moore stuff bothers me so much is there's a city councilor here in town named Jeff Miller. J-E-F-F.
It's Miller time.
Jeff Miller has been arrested by the IMPD for child molestation charges. And listen, it's so weird to watch Republicans be very pro-police until they arrest a Republican for child molestation, and then a certain segment of them go,
"He's a good boy.
The police are wrong." You have the black sticker with the blue line through it. Do you trust the police? Like, so they don't, the IMPD police department has the best child crimes investigative unit in the state. Like, they're not going to just charge a city councilor for no reason.
And it wasn't like he was speeding. I mean, right, we're talking about
touching 10-year-old girls.
Multiple
girls. And the guy is not stepping down from his seat. He's saying it's all false. He's pled not guilty, which is his right. He's getting his day in court. He's going to go through the trial, but at the expense of his constituents. He's been stripped of his committee assignments. He's a pariah in the community. He cannot go out to community meetings without this being the topic. He's not serving his constituents. He's now serving himself as a way to stay in this, you know, and if he truly believes he's innocent, he should plead not guilty. But if he's guilty and he knows it,
clap your hands.
Forcing 10-year-old...
But if he's not, you can't expect him to step down.
Forcing 10-year-old girls...
Wouldn't if you didn't do it and you were being accused of it, you would step
if
down?
If I were in his shoes, I would absolutely step down.
I think after I got arrested, I would definitely step down.
I would
down.
If...
I think that's where you draw the line.
Spangle would step down and then win in court.
Absolutely.
So then he'd win what?
You...
He wouldn't be a senator anymore. Where's your power?
Huh?
You lost it all.
Yeah, well, you can run again after you're vindicated. I wouldn't, if my life would be over. His life is over. That's the problem, is he made choices that led to the best police department in the state convinced that multiple girls accused him of this. Like, this, if you read the documents, I have the documents, it's very clear what happened. But he feels that if he just protests this loud enough, then people will go, well, he must not be guilty. And that's what Trump and Roy Moore have taught Republicans, but politics at large. Like, well, if you're not guilty, just even if you are guilty, just scream it. It doesn't even matter if it's child molestation. Like, there's literally no crime anymore that is untouchable. Like, the Republicans a year ago were talking about Pizzagate and how that's the most horrible thing you could possibly think of. And we've got city councilors out here accused of it with documented evidence that we would have craved in the Pizzagate case, and there's a certain portion of the local GOP that is supporting him. Like,
where are their principles?
That's exactly what I want to know. Like,
we can't have pineapple on pizza.
What is the end game here? That's really the question that I don't understand that a lot of Republicans especially should be asking, and I'm picking on Republicans because I stood next to all these Tea Party Republicans. I was in founding meetings of the Indiana Tea Party. I was at ground zero of the Tea Party in 2009, 2010. I knew every single one of these people. I went to all their rallies. I got to know them. I went to every Tea Party group in the state in 2010, 2011. Like, and I just saw people who preached morals and values and made fun of Clinton. And we're going to hold ourselves to a higher standard, and that's why we need to get people out of the Senate. And like, even honorable men like Dick Lugar, who are politically wrong but are not bad guys, are those guys need to go in favor of, like, Richard Murdoch was actually a good dude. Like, I can't bag on Murdoch because he wasn't a joke. Like, he was actually a very intelligent man who made the slip of a tongue that was roasted at the hands of the press and the local Democrats.
Yeah.
But and I just see those same exact people on Facebook who were in the Tea Party preaching morality, sticking up for Roy Moore. And I just go, to what end? Like, is that the hill you're going to die on? Like, because if that's the hill you're going to die on, supporting child molesters in the city, county council, and the Senate, like, just die. Like, I just don't get it. Like, the cognitive dissonance. It's one thing if you just say, like, there's no intellectual honesty. So they have to just make up facts to say, he couldn't have done this. This is a forgery. Here's how we think this is a forgery. Like, no, honey, it's true. Like, if you just want to win an election, then just say that. At least be intellectually honest if you're going to be a disgrace to your country. Like, it's so, I just look at it and I go, the Indianapolis City County Council member that is a Republican that is refusing to step down is the end. So it's not like Roy Moore, where there's 40 years between it, and it's like
there's
this
actual documented evidence, and he's been arrested for it. There's a good case.
After Weinstein, one of the girls said, oh, that's what...
I don't even have a problem with what Weinstein did, to be honest with you. If he's trading jacking off into a potted plant and it's consensual...
It's not consensual.
For potted plants.
Because he's basically...
The one wasn't that he was caught on camera. But I mean, like, so that's kind of different.
Kidnapping women and making them... It's like Matt Lauer locking the door. You're locked in an office.
It's not kind of different if you're caught on camera.
It is different. Hey, do you want to be in Kill Bill or don't you not? You're going to suck this
right.
dick. All right.
But
come on.
But this
that's
to me,
free
like,
market.
He saw Weinstein and he just goes... The girl goes, that's what that man did to me. And that's when they started investigating and found a pattern. A pattern matters. Al Franken had a pattern. So that means it's probably true. Like, if it was the one woman with the picture, well, okay, she could have an axe to grind. But when it's seven, that's a pattern. That's truth. Okay? The Bible says there has to be two witnesses. That's the foundation of American law. Witnesses speaking out saying this happened is evidence. Words coming out of mouths are evidence, okay? Like, when did the people that were supposed to stand up for the rule of law, libertarians and conservatives, give up the very foundational principle of words actually have meaning? And to what end? To the point that Jeff Miller thinks he can stay on the council when there's a very credible case against him for child molestation. That is the end result of this. And if you're one of these people who supports Roy Moore, I think you really have to step back. Go and read the articles from the Washington Post, because at least four or five people that I talked to online, I forced them. I said, we're no longer talking about this until you read the Washington Post article. They went and read the article, came back and said, I'm completely wrong. You're right. I'm sorry. Like, it's clear to me when people argue about Roy Moore at this point that they didn't just read the evidence. They didn't go and use their critical brain. They're just reacting. And reactionary politics is very dangerous in a society. Anti-intellectualism, the rule of man, not caring about the rule of law, these are very dangerous things in a society. And we're certainly not at a point where we are 1933 and Hitler's rising and all that. But one good economic...
We could only hope.
One good economic crisis with these bad thinking... These thinking errors in place, and we are Germany in 1933. So we have to be good stewards of how we think, what we publish on social media, and how we have political discourse with our friends, family, and online, because it really does matter. It really matters what you personally are putting out in the world. And, I just think that libertarians betraying our basic principles for political expediency to win arguments on Facebook, and it just doesn't, it's
and
just
online
not good.
Polls.
That's different.
That's okay, collusion. That's different. That was collusion with Bittner's.
You have to understand.
That was horrible. You cheated.
I don't like to lose.
You lie. You lie bigly.
I don't play board games with my four-year-old niece because I will flip the board and call her names.
Yeah, you'll steal all of her properties.
The second I sit down to play a board game with somebody, I start thinking about how to cheat. Because I love to win.
Are you stealing money out of the bank?
Yeah.
The Monopoly bank?
Absolutely.
Wow, every time I turn around?
So to have...
Good to know.
To be a man of integrity, I do not play games.
Oh, you just don't play them.
I just don't play them. Because the temptation to win at any cost is too great for me.
Politics is the ultimate game, though.
It's exactly right.
That's right.
So...
Actually, Hunting Man
is the ultimate game.
But
yes,
right
the
underneath
Hunger Games. The Hunger Games.
Yeah, Hunting
All right.
Man.
Thank you for joining us here in this episode of We Are Libertarians.
You're welcome.
I want to thank our Patreon $100 reward subscribers. Brandon Luke, thanks so much for joining, buddy. Christy Avery, Craig DaCosta, Jason Doolittle, you guys are awesome. Our $25 subscribers. I want to thank Rick Irvine and Nick Economopoulos, who literally joined from 10 to 25 during this episode. I want to thank you guys. I really appreciate that. Brantley Spicer, Rick Irvine, Nick Economopoulos, Chad Oakage, Joey Tarner, Pete Jones, Carly Ernst, Brandon Kester, Heidi Aldridge, Christian Emmons, Dan Dunbar, Doug Stream, Chris Brokoff, and Todd Singer. You guys are awesome. Thank you to everybody who donates on Patreon. You 100 people pay the bills for the other 6,900 freeloaders. If just every single one of you listeners...
You socialists.
$1. It comes out on the first of the month.
It'll be like $1.80 now.
Will it?
Because of the new taxes, remember?
The fees.
$2.50. Just subscribe $2.50.
Listen, $5. You get cool content.
$7.50.
$5. 6,900 of you, if you just gave $5, not only could I devote all of my time trying to figure out the bullshit in the news for you, I could hire people to do it, and we could do some really cool stuff. So, and
you get Tad Talk back up and running, too.
Exactly. So,
set a goal. If they get to a goal, you open it back up, and you do a show.
Yeah.
Just one show.
What's your goal?
Exactly.
Spangle, how much you need? I don't need any money. I'm rich.
Exactly. He's big in Turkey right now. So I just
no
huge. So if you're one of those 6,900 people that don't give via Patreon, love that you listen. We appreciate it, especially if you're a new person just testing it out for the first time. Love for you to contact us at the Facebook group, the Discord, editor at WeAreLibertarians.com. Everything's at WeAreLibertarians.com. You can go there. You can listen to Wall Radio. You can get all the other podcasts. You can see my writings. You can see links. All kinds of cool stuff there. But that Patreon, that's how we pay for all this stuff. And so if you're one of those 6,900 people, man, it'd be awesome if you could just kick in a buck a month, kick in $5 a month. That really helps us out. If you want to give a one-time contribution, there's a PayPal link on there. We have equipment that we always need donated. There's an Amazon wish list. So in this time of giving, I know everybody's budgets are strapped because of Christmas. So maybe after you get your Christmas, or if you made a bunch of money on Bitcoin, I'm going to get a Bitcoin wallet set up too, finally, because it's stupid not to. Now that I understand
so
Bitcoin.
So do you understand how the market works now? You said earlier that it's a commodity now and not a currency, but you're setting it up and the market's growing. The currency's coming. It's going to be a currency.
It is currently commoditized.
Sure.
No,
it could go back to a currency.
Bitcoin
absolutely.
Is reserve all. Online coin, it's a reserve currency coined for all the other altcoins.
I got on Coinbase, so I didn't know that on Coinbase.
Really? I don't know.
On Coinbase, if you do a bank transfer on your Coinbase, it takes 5 to 7 days to process, whereas a debit card, it's immediate, which I wish I had done that. So I did bank transfers, and so I'm waiting on 3 transfers. But I put about 150 into Bitcoin. The first
and
was
it takes 3 days to go in?
5 at least.
Oh,
for a bank transfer.
You're missing out on all the
No.
You're losing out on gains.
You're missing out on all this we're going to the moon
to
over here.
No. So okay. I put 20 in at 900 or 9,000. I doubled my money basically today. Like I looked at it and it was double what it was. So it was like 40-45. And then I put 25 in at 11. And that hasn't processed, but the buy order's for 11, so it's going to buy at 11.
Oh,
so
no matter what
it doesn't
prices.
Matter, right?
Oh, okay.
And then I put in 100.
No, that seems fair.
Yeah, I put in 100 last night when it was like 13, 14.
So could you cancel it if it goes down?
I don't think so. I think I'm stuck. That's the bad part. So I'm sitting here.
You're
going,
a real Gordon Gekko.
I am. I'm just sitting here freaking out. Like, please don't crash.
$100 in there?
Absolutely.
Wow.
You better wait till the Korean. You realize that's 24 hours a day, and the Koreans they're going.
If
they're
it's
selling big time right now, I just got an alert,
dude. If I put it in at 12, and it holds and it keeps building, and it's 25 by the time that process is in Coinbase. I'm just going to sell it that day. I'm like, I double my money, I'm out.
You realize McAfee had Bitcoin, this is twice as fast as what he had it projected going.
I know.
And he said it was what, like
$1 billion? That's why I'm praying it doesn't crash in the next 5 days. But
You just got to watch the market cap and figure out what people are doing.
If I lose, at this point.
It's gambling, man. It's
right.
Gambling. You just got to go ride the wave, man.
I will have $100 in my Bitcoin wallet. If it crashes, I can immediately cash out. So
that's what you think.
Right.
Do you look at it every day?
Absolutely.
Don't
you
do
won't
that.
Make any money.
Yeah. Yep. No, I don't touch
You're
it.
You're going to get scared.
I leave it alone.
Because it's going to go down 20%. Are you going to pull out?
I always pull
absolutely
out.
At 20 when it loses 20%.
I will have a processing
because then it's going to go back up 50.
If
and
it,
you'll miss out on that jump.
You can't day trade Bitcoin.
No,
Bitcoin's
I'm not day
like
trading.
Gold.
Not day trading.
You just need to sit on it and like, not even look at it.
Like anymore. If after a point of 12 hours, it's gone from like 20 to 10, I'm gonna sell.
No, fuck that. What's the point at that point?
Yeah, why are you doing it? Because for $10? What you're doing it for?
All right, here's what I'll do.
$10?
Here's what I will do. I will take out...
Let me manage your funds.
No.
I'm rich!
No.
That's the worst idea I've ever.
What I will do...
You see that Lambo on 24 outside?
I would give my money to James Neese to manage before you. James is low-key rich.
I made $100 million.
You drove up here...
Altcoin.
You drove up here in a 1997 Ford Toyota.
It was a 94, and it's an SHO CLI edition. You know how many of those I made? 25.
An SHO CLI Taurus.
One out of 25.
One out of 25. Investing
they're
cars.
Numbered and signed on the
very
bottom.
Hard to find.
Like a Matchbox car.
Yeah, right. Carroll Shelby signed the glove box.
No, I think what I will do is I will take out my original investment. So at least at that point, I break even. If I lose that
now
money,
now you're playing
who
with
cares?
House money.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. That's
what all losers say. You know how Donald Trump got rich?
How?
Going bankrupt.
Right. <yeah. laughs> All right. Thanks for joining us here on this episode of We Are Libertarians. You're all beautiful people. We will see you next Tuesday. And until then, please.
Except for you, Jeff Vibbert, you're ugly.
Good to each other.